Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Thousands of immigrants from Central America have come to Massachusetts in recent years, many in this summer's surge of immigrants. Some were fleeing gang violence in El Salvador, hoping to obtain asylum here. As we continue our special series called Beyond the Border, this morning, WBUR's Shannon Dooling introduces us to a woman named Lizette. We agreed not to use her full name because she fears for her life. Lizette and her daughter fled gang violence in the Salvadoran community of Mexicanos in their months-long journey to Boston and Lynn.
It's early October in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Lizette glances over her right shoulder, looking out the window of a Greyhound bus at the U.S. immigration agents sitting nearby in an unmarked white cargo van. The agents just dropped her and her 11-year-old daughter off at the bus stop and are idling, waiting for the bus to leave. Her daughter, Abigail, sits next to her, wearing a pink t-shirt with the word LOVE printed in glittery font. The young girl smiles while her mom keeps her eyes on the van.
Nerviosa siempre. No sé. Con ansiedad estar allá también.
I'm always nervous. I'm anxious, that's the truth, ever since we left.
The bus pulls away from the dusty station, and Lizette manages a shallow sigh of relief, beginning the next leg of what's already been an unpredictable journey.
I left El Salvador on July 12th by bus. We crossed the river in tiny inflatable rafts, and ours was losing air. The person who was ferrying us told us to look for red lights once we got to the mountains. We didn't see anything. We were desperate. We found clothing. We found shoes. We found people's bones. We walked for maybe 3 hours. It was horrible. Horrible.
Lizette and Abigail were eventually picked up by U.S. Border Patrol officers near Hidalgo, Texas, more than 1,000 miles from their Salvadoran home. Lizette says they were told they'd be deported immediately. She was asked to sign her deportation order, and when she refused, she says the officer told her she could be detained for months.
Fine, I told him. It doesn't matter. I don't want to go back to my country. I can't.
In the gritty outskirts of San Salvador, in the city of Mexicanos, graffiti marks the transitions between rival gang territories. MS, or Mara Salvatrucha, and 18th Street are the most notorious.
Buenas.
Lisette's mother and younger sister take a bus to the center of town, meeting me, my translator, and my driver to accompany us into their neighborhood. They explain it's safer arriving with locals. The driver decides to take his personal car for this interview, leaving the cab with tinted windows back at home. This way, he says, people can see who's sitting in the back seat, one of many precautions we take in this country with the second highest rate of homicide in the world, according to the UN. Adela and Catherine invite us into their small home, and sitting down at the kitchen table, Adela explains why her daughter, Lizette, left for Boston.
My daughter's husband cheated on her, and that's when the threats began against all of us, against the whole family. The threats were getting worse, death threats.
Adela says Lisette's husband started an affair with a woman involved in one of the gangs. When Lizette asked her estranged husband for money to help support their two daughters, Adela says his mistress threatened to kill Lizette and her entire family. She says those threats have continued since Lizette left last July, that she and Catherine pay the gangs an extortion fee, what many call la renta, the rent. Some days it's $3, other days $5. Because Lizette has a disability that makes walking long distances a challenge, and because of the money needed for the journey, she decided she couldn't bring both of her daughters. So Lisette's 6-year-old stayed behind with Adela.
She was being harassed by gangs. They were looking for the girl. I was in a terrible panic because I felt that they were shooting at the girl and they were shooting at me too.
Adela makes her hand into the shape of a gun to show how the gang members threatened her and her granddaughter. She speaks in whispers and her eyes shift every time someone passes by the door.
The gang members hang out three houses away from us, and you know, walls can hear, so it's scary. But we trust and ask God to take us away from here someday.
Adela and her daughter Catherine believe Lisette and Abigail are safe in the United States, for now. I ask what will happen if the U.S. denies them asylum. She can't come back, Catherine says. If they see her, the first thing they'll do is someone will make a phone call and say, she's here. You can send the order to kill her. Adela interrupts. Here in the house, she says. They'll do it here in the house. They'll come into the house and kill us all. That's the way it is here.
Adela says we should leave because they're starting to wake up, so they start
talking to us. Okay. Our driver interrupts the interview, telling our translator we should get going. It looks like more of the neighbors are stirring, walking by, peeking in through the steel bars on the windows and door. We pack up. El Salvador has the world's highest rate of femicide, the killing of females. This, according to a 2012 report from the Small Arms Survey, an independent research project. Women and young girls are especially vulnerable to the brutality of gang-related violence. This leads many to flee. Some borrow money for the journey, as Lisette did, knowing there are plenty of risks and no guarantees along the way. José Osvaldo López is a human rights lawyer at Foundation Cristosal in San Salvador. He offers legal advice to people threatened by gangs. Most of them are looking for protection, which can be difficult to come by in El Salvador, a country the size of Massachusetts.
When a person finds support or protection in another country, and then they're forced to return, that's sending them back to a certain death. If there's already a clear link to persecution by gangs, they're going to kill them. That's what's going to happen.
No matter what the basis of their claim, asylum applicants can face long odds. Last year, when considering applicants who were already in the process of being deported, U.S. immigration courts denied nearly 10 applications from Salvadorans for every one granted. In Boston Immigration Court, where Lisette's case is slated to appear, 56% of the asylum cases from all countries were granted. Lisette and her daughter spent more than 2 months in a federal family detention center. The isolated facility in Artesia, New Mexico, opened in June, temporarily accommodating the surge of Central American immigrants.
These were very traumatic months for me, to see my daughter not eating. It was very, very hard. To leave my family behind, to leave my other daughter behind. Even now, I can't believe it. It's hard because you feel like you've left a part of yourself behind. But in El Salvador, we were in danger.
An immigration judge in Denver determined that Lisette and Abigail posed little flight risk and were not a danger to the community. He ordered a $3,000 bond for their release, allowing them to pursue an asylum application. Kira Gagarin, an immigration lawyer in Framingham, met Lisette when volunteering in Artesia. After she learned Lisette was trying to reunite with family in Lynn, Gagarin offered to represent her, pro bono.
The basis of her asylum is because she was persecuted by gangs back in her native El Salvador, and the problem there is as a single woman because her husband had left her, and because she doesn't have any men in her family, she was very vulnerable to the continued gang persecution there.
Lisette's cousins in Lynn paid the bond and bought two bus tickets for Boston, a city Lisette and Abigail know little about. Riding on the bus, they imagine what Boston might be like. I think it's a beautiful city, very big and full of people, the little girl says.
I can't imagine it, maybe because I never thought I'd be in this situation, leaving my country to go to another country so far away. But everyone tells me Boston is very pretty.
After more than 30 hours by bus from New Mexico, and after traveling thousands of miles from their home in El Salvador, Lisette and 11-year-old Abigail finally arrive at South Station with one bag of clothing and an envelope full of paperwork. Lisette's Aunt Maria hasn't seen her niece since she was a little girl. Maria's never met Abigail.
Hi! Feliz de estar aquí.
Hola.
Hola. ¿Estás aquí, mi amor?
Llegué. Llegué hasta aquí después de tal.
We're here. We're here after such a long time. I still can't believe I got here. Let's see what happens. The only thing we can do now is look forward and just see what the future brings us in this country.
There was another reunion waiting for Lisette in Lynn, one she had no idea was coming, with her youngest daughter, the 6-year-old, the one being threatened by gang members after Lisette left. A few days later, Lisette recalled the emotion of that reunion and introduced us to her princess.
Wow! Lo mejor que me pudo haber pasado.
It's the best thing that could happen to me. Here she is. Here's my princess.
¿Quién es? Es mi mami.
Lisette's mother, back in Mexicanos, decided to send the child to Boston with another relative. It's unclear how they crossed the border, but the little girl made it to Massachusetts in August, while her mom and sister were still detained in Artesia. With both of her daughters by her side, Lisette waits to begin the asylum hearing, the next step in their journey. According to her lawyer, the wait for a judge to hear their case could be anywhere between 3 and 6 years. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Shannon Dooling.